Be seated. You know, we pray for God to use us, but a lot of times God cannot use us because we do not prepare ourselves for use. We want the Lord to use us, but we do not make any preparation so that God may use us, and we reserve to ourselves all of our desire. Therefore, God cannot use us. He would like to use us, but He cannot use us because of that. But the Lord does want to use us. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. God has a big operation. It's a universal operation. It's an eternal operation. And God needs every person that He can get. He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's billions of people. That means it takes a lot of you and me to be able to go into all the world and preach the gospel to billions of people. You know, the Lord has blessed us in our broadcast and in our evangelism. As a matter of fact, tonight it warmed my heart. I received a letter they brought to me. It come from a prisoner. We deal with the prisoners as much as we possibly can. Now this came from a prisoner, and he said, you know, said, I praise God for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Said, I was sitting by the radio, and said, I was just hoping that I could hear something from God concerning this. And he said, all of a sudden, I turned the radio on, and there it was, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which, of course, is a broadcast that we're on. It's a broadcast that reaches all over the world. It comes in through a shortwave means, and it reaches into all of the world. It goes into Russia, it goes into China, it goes into India, it goes into all of the world. And he wrote this letter, and he said he was so grateful for this wonderful Word of God. We've got a number of letters from this broadcast that has warmed our heart. And it does my heart good to know that while I'm asleep at night or while you're asleep at night, that the voice of the gospel of Jesus Christ is still ringing out around the world. And we're still trying to do what we can for the wonderful cause of Christ, trying to reach the millions of people and billions of people that are in the world today, trying to reach it to the best of our ability, to the best of our knowledge, and trying to do what we can. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. And God is trying His very best to prepare people that will be concerned about His work. You know, we're concerned about many things, but God wants us to be concerned about His work and His way of life. If we was as concerned about God's work and God's way of life as we are about our way of life and our own desire, then we could do great and mighty things for God. But if we take all of our time for ourselves, then we don't have any time to prepare ourselves for the cause of Christ. You know, I'd like for you to think on this tonight. The Bible said that if we save our lives in this world, then we will lose our life in the world to come. But if we lose our life in this world, then we will save our life unto eternal life in the world to come. You're not going to have both lives. You know, we might as well to make up our mind that we're not going to have both lives. Now, I know the ministers of today are going all over the world and they're preaching you can have both of them, but you cannot have but one of them. You are a creature for either that world or a creature for this world. If you are a creature for this world, then you can sow to the flesh, and you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Oh, that is, if you sow to the flesh, you give the flesh your time, your desire, your ambition, then you shall reap of that corruptible things that will decay. You shall of the flesh reap from your labor things that will pass away, things that are corruptible, are things that will decay. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. And so then Jesus said, if you will take and give me your body in this present world, then I will live inside of you, and I will walk inside of you, and you'll be my body, and you'll be my temple. And I'll use your body for my service and for my pleasure and to do the things that I need to do to spread this wonderful truth, to establish my kingdom. And because you give me your body, then I will give you my holy, eternal body, that you may be bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, even the body that will never pass away. The body that will never decay, the body that will never perish. Therefore, if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap the eternal wealth and the eternal power and the eternal riches of the lovely Son of God in the world to come. So it is a wonderful thing. You know, I talked to you a little last night, and I'm talking to you a little bit here tonight. They're getting my wireless mic. This mic is fine right here. The only thing is it has a cord on it. It makes it a little difficult to move around. But they're getting my wireless mic already, and I was just kind of waiting a few minutes here. It gives me a chance to talk with you a little more. But I tried to explain a few things last night, just kind of a hit and a miss with a few things, and I didn't follow any certain theme of thought last night because I wanted to scatter around a few thoughts so that in the event I should preach from any of those things, that your mind would already be in some way acquainted with it. And it wouldn't seem strange to you when I spoke of it. But you know, the church world of today in general is not spiritual. They are not spiritual. Now, a lot of people, you know, they feel like if they shout and they dance and they holler that they are spiritual. This is true. That is being spiritual in the sense of childhood. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and children jump rope, they run, they have a good time, they shoot marble and whatever. You know, because they're children in God, and they should do that because they are children in God. They should desire the sincere milk of the Word and have a good time. But the Bible teaches the parents shall lay up for the children. Because when the shadows of the evening time begin to fall, all of those things are not going to suffice. The Bible said the meat, which is the revelation of Christ, the deep mysteries, said these things belong to the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern and that between good and evil. So then there is those great wonderful mysteries of God that God has for you and he has them for me. The church has down through the years moved progressively from one stage of life to another stage of life. It has gone through its infancy, and it has moved on into another stage of life, and then it's moved on into another stage of life. Just as Jesus was born into a manger, or born in a manger, as he grew up from that, he went on into manhood. And so the church has done the very same thing, growing on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. God has allowed that. But folks, in the day that we're living in, we've come to that great, wonderful hour that the Bible speaks of concerning the manifestation of the sons of God. There are sons and daughters of God, and these are the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've moved on to a time, and we've moved on to an age, to where God is seeking men and women that will listen, and men and women that will dedicate their lives and consecrate their lives so that he can use them in a masterful way and in a great way among the people throughout the world. He's looking for some people that he can use. You know, even in the early church, when somebody was appointed over something, you couldn't just pick up anybody and put them in God's work. It seems like the ministry of today, or the people of today, or the religions of today, they have the idea that you can just take anybody and put them into God's work or God's kingdom and put them over the things of God. You know, and it's perfectly all right, but that's not right. The Bible teaches in the early church that anyone that was appointed over the things of God had to meet certain qualifications. One of the qualifications was they had to be filled with the Spirit. That was number one. You couldn't be over the things of God if you wasn't filled with the Spirit. So you can see by that they didn't just use anybody. They had to be filled with the Spirit to be over the master's business or to be in the master's service. They had to be, number one, filled with the Spirit. Number two, they had to be of a good report of the brethren within the church. They couldn't just be any person. They had to be a person that the brethren respected, that the church respected. They had to have that great, wonderful respect that the church gives to them that serve the Lord. That was number two. And number three, they had to be of a good report of them that were without, those that were without the church. They couldn't be people that wouldn't pay their bills or wouldn't try to hold up the standards of decency or righteousness. God wouldn't have them. If they were somebody that was criticized by the people outside of the church and the people outside the church did not look upon them as a Christian, you could not use them in the early church world. Another thing, the Bible said that they had to be, number four, filled with wisdom. They had to be people of wisdom. They had to be somebody that understood the Scriptures, understood the way of God, understood the things of God. They had to be filled with wisdom. And so then, in this, God took people and set them in the church and set them over the things of God. And there was a great, wonderful move of God of power and a great, wonderful move of God of establishing the truth and a great move of God in that it showed the righteousness of Christ and the name of the Lord was glorified. Now, you know, in every tent meeting, I noticed some people going out, and of course, sometimes people have to leave. You know, they have to leave early, and sometimes people have things they have to do. Now, like somebody sent me word tonight, said, "Brother Pike, don't be disturbed. I'll have to leave a little bit early. I thought you was going to get started early, and I've got to be back." He's been here a time or two, and I understand, and perhaps that was the family that went out. I do not know. But on the other hand, in all of the meetings, you have some people that will leave. And the reason that they will leave is because people are so indoctrinated with some kind of doctrine or some kind of idea or something that they feel, they're in such a condition that they don't know God's Word and they don't understand the Word of God. And if you ever cross their feelings, if you ever cross what they think, or if you ever cross the tradition of the elders or whatever they've held on to through the years, out they go just like that. You know, I tell you what it reminds me of. The Bible speaks of the time when they would trample. You know, they would gather the wheat in and then they would trample the wheat under their feet. And in doing this, they had winnowing fans. And when they would trample the wheat, when it would come in, all of that was not wheat would just come right up like this. And the winnowing wind would pick it up and away it would go. Just like that. They would trample it until all of that came up. And all of that, it was not part of the wheat. It just went out like that. The chaff just flew right out the doors, we say. See, God is trampling the wheat. God is trampling the wheat. And every contrary wind of doctrine, every idea, everything is getting a hold of the people. And it's just sweeping them away like the chaff. But those that are born of God, those that love Jesus Christ, those that are anchored in the Word of God are searching and searching and searching, and they are praying and they are fasting, and they are getting closer to God all the time. They're doing something for God all the time. Day and night, they're praying and having visions, and God is giving them great visitations, and things are happening in their life, and they're growing more and more in the wonderful knowledge of the Son of God. So then, it is a wonderful hour that we are living in. I thank the Lord tonight for the opportunity to be here again with you and to talk with you. I thank God for your patience. And I appreciate those that came up a little bit early that sat out there knowing that we were pressed here and had a race with time. They allowed for it so that we could get these in the ground. A lot of people won't do that, and that's all right. You know, they've got a right to expect the services to be ready because we advertised it. And if it's not ready, they got a right to leave. That's their sovereignty. But on the other hand, though they have all these rights, a person could not have very much from God that is of that frame of mind. A person that has no desire for the cross, No patience, when the Bible said within your patience possess your soul, no patience for the things of God or to work with the things of God could not expect very much from God, nor could they have very much from God. So I appreciate those that have been patient, those that have worked with us, and those that have tried to understand, because truthfully, folks, we are in a war and we are fighting the devil, and the devil is determined to stop every move of God that he possibly can. He's trying his best to stop the Word of God, but he'll never prevail against the Word of God. The Bible said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the Word of God. Tonight, you and I are gates of heaven. The Bible said, open up, ye everlasting gates, that the King of glory may come in. But those people out yonder, when they open their mouths and when they come present, they are the gates to the bottomless pit. And they are the gates to hell. And if you listen to them, they will draw your spirit into the bottomless pit or into the gates of hell through their conversation. And though you might be a great person and a good person, the Bible said evil communication corrupt good manners. And they are the gates of hell. But I'm glad the Bible said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against this wonderful thing called the gospel. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Let me see your hands. Are you glad to be here tonight? All right, we appreciate that. I thank the Lord for it. I appreciate you being here with us. And as I said, this mic will give me a little more freedom to move around here. And if you don't mind bearing with us a few minutes tonight, we'd like to speak to you about the wonderful things of God. I could have very easily have preached to you last night because the people that was here, I had a wonderful audience. They were very reverent. Very respectful, and they listen real good. I didn't have a bit of problem talking to them, and I know that I'm getting started a little bit late tonight, and that makes it a little bit difficult for some of you that have to go, and if you have to go, then I understand that, and I have respect for it. Brother Pike won't upbraid you about it. If you walk out when I'm preaching the gospel, I might say something. If I pick up a contrary spirit, but you'll never hear me say anything as long as you have something that you have to do or if you don't understand. All right, I want to read just a little bit to you tonight from the book of St. Luke. It is chapter 20. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. And I'd love to drop a few thoughts tonight if I can. It's late. We're getting started late. Not late for me, because sometimes we talk all night long about the things of God, or sometimes we pray all night long talking to God. So it's really not late for me at all. But it's perhaps late for some of you because of routine. Some people have church routine, or they have jobs and different things, and to them it's late. But tonight I want to take just a few minutes and speak to you. And perhaps I won't get into Revelation because of it being late. But it's for sure that with the kind of attention that we had last night, before this revival is over, we will get into the deep mysteries of God. There's no question about it. The attitude of the people last night will automatically cause the Lord to speak concerning the deep mysteries of God. Now, a lot of places we go to, we might just drop in a little bit of revelation, and we might not say very much about the mysteries because we just have a bunch of babies on our hand, and they don't understand, and we just have to bless them and love them and feed them the milk of the Word, which is a wonderful, great ministry. Jesus said, feed my lambs, and that's a wonderful ministry. But on the other hand, I have to admit that once in a while it thrills my heart to be able to get with some to where among the babes in Christ there are those that are hungering and thirsting for the deep, wonderful revelation of the Son of God. And in these meetings, I expect to speak some concerning that. But tonight I'd like to speak from Chapter 20, the book of St. Luke. We'd like to read from the first verse. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with us. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priest and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, tell us by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we will say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet.
They answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent his servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore will the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that same stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Shew me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the thing which be Caesar, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer, and held their peace. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees, which denied that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said to them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that they did not ask him any questions at all. And he said unto them, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? Then in the audience of all the people he said unto his disciples, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a shoe make long prayer, the same shall receive greater damnation. That's reading a whole chapter. Sometimes I read quite a bit of scripture for the simple reason that a lot of people never read their Bible. They never bother to read their Bible, and therefore, in that they don't bother to read their Bible, then they don't understand what you're preaching because they don't even know what the Bible says about it. So a lot of times I read the Bible from time to time to try to help the people get a biblical understanding that when I do speak to them, that they're able to tell what I am speaking about. Notice here in this particular scripture, Jesus said that He sent, that He, or that is God, He said, sent certain people to receive fruit from His vineyard. He said that He had a vineyard. He planted a vineyard, and the vineyard was there to produce fruit, and He sent people, certain ones, to receive of this fruit. That is to say that He sent some prophets to receive from this vineyard, and instead of receiving fruit, the people that had the vineyard killed the prophets. He said that He sent wise men, and they were supposed to gather fruit from this vineyard, and then in gathering fruit from this vineyard, they were supposed to bring it to God, but they killed the wise men. And He said He finally decided that the only way He would ever get His fruit from His vineyard was to send His own Son. And so then, sending His own Son, the Bible said when His own Son came, rather than yielding up the fruit, they said, seeing that this is the very heir Himself, if we should kill this man, then we would own the vineyard ourselves. Now, and the Bible said when God saw this and when God understood this, the thing that they had done, He said, and what shall God do to these wicked men that have slain the prophets? What shall God do to these wicked people for doing this thing? Did you know today is just exactly as it was in that day? We're living in the same identical atmosphere that they lived in that day. And wherever you go to try to preach the gospel, if you really are a son of God, if you really do have a message from God, if you're really trying to gather the fruit from the vineyard, then you'll find out that the organized powers of religion will assail you, and they will close in on you, and they will do anything that they can to stop the move of God and to stop the Word of God. It's no different today than it was in the day that has gone by. God said, what will I do to these wicked people that refuse to render unto me the fruits from my vineyard? Now, Jesus, in upbraiding the Pharisees and the scribes, He caused them to get disturbed with Him. They got upset. They thought they were great Bible scholars. They thought that they understood the things of God, such as the people of today. The denominational powers of today, the great religious trend of today, they feel like they've got it all figured out. They feel like they understand what is to be and what is not to be. They know when Christ is coming. They know how it's going to be. In the days of Jesus, they had it all figured out. They knew exactly what was to happen. While those scribes and Pharisees, they had it right down to the very time. And they thought it was to be like this, and they had all of their plans and preparations, and they expected the coming of the Lord just exactly the way that they had it outlined. And all of a sudden, here comes a little babe being born in a manger. Just a little baby born in a manger. And all of a sudden, this little baby, as it began to grow up, it caused a great problem in the land. Everything began to be troubled. This little babe growing up from childhood, it was causing problems everywhere. It caused mass murder, this little babe being born, this little child coming up. See, nobody really understood. They thought they understood, but they really didn't understand God nor God's program. They didn't understand God's plan at all. They thought they understood God's plan. And here's the great scholars sitting around, and they've got everything mapped out, and they've got everything just exactly the way they felt it was supposed to be. And all of a sudden comes a little boy about 12 years old. He comes along and he sits right down in the midst of the elders. And he begins to talk to the elders. And he begins to ask the elders questions. And he began to say, sir, could you tell me this or could you explain this to me? And when they were dumbfounded and didn't know what to say, he said, let me tell you what it is, sirs. If you do not know the answer, let me tell you what the answer is to it. And this little lad began to rebuked the elders in the sense of telling them the answers. He began to reprove the elders in the sense of telling them what was to be and what was not to be. And they were literally astounded. As they heard this, they were literally astounded. They said, how does this lad know this? See, they thought that they had it all figured out. They thought they had everything mapped out. But here comes the lad standing in their midst that was not esteemed to them. Here come a lad standing in their midst that they did not believe in, nor did they have any idea that he had any understanding from God. But the great, wonderful Spirit of God was upon him. The Bible said the Spirit of God shall be upon him and make him of a quick understanding. Did you know today that if you've got the Spirit of God upon you, that you'll be of a quick understanding? Do you realize that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you don't have to go to college, you don't have to go to high school, you don't have to do all these things. God will make you of a quick understanding. Are you aware of the fact that God took thousands of people out of the land of Egypt, and they did not have one college, and they did not have one school, and yet God made them of such great understanding? He said, when you go into Canaan, He said, this will be your protection. Your understanding will be so great that all of the people of Canaan will be afraid of you. He said, your intelligence, your understanding. They did not have one industry. They did not have one means of making a living, but God provided a living for them. They did not have hospitals. They did not have the great things that you've got today. But God provided for them, and the Bible said there was not one sick among them. God took care of them. Folks, where our problem is today is we keep looking to the things of the world. We keep leaning upon the arm of flesh. We are placing too much value upon the things that are of less value. We're not evaluating properly according to the mind of God, and we're placing the greatest value on that which is of less value. We're esteeming it greater value when it's of less value. We are not looking to the eternal things. We're looking to the temporal things that God said would pass away. We are not seeking the wisdom that comes from God, but we're seeking the wisdom that comes from man. And we're not esteeming the people of God, but we're esteeming that which be of man. You know, the world is in a pathetic condition today, not only here in America, but all over the world. It's in a pathetic condition today because men are leaning on the arm of flesh. The Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. Cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help. Therefore, we do not need to lean upon the arm of flesh. We do not need to look down into Egypt for help. Now, this might sound just a little bit besetting, but I want you to listen, because as we go along, we're bound to drop into some revelation. Now, here we are today. All of us are here today. We know that we're going to die. There is not one among us but what we're going to die. You might be young. It might be just a child sitting out there. It might be an elder. It might be a middle-aged person. But the thing is, you're going to die. There is a grave on the hillside somewhere for you. They're going to have your funeral one day, and they're going to put you in a hole one day, and they're going to throw the dirt in your face one day. There is nobody that can escape that. There has never been anybody that ever escaped that, except those that was able to latch on to that transformating faith of the Almighty God. Knowing that you're going to die, knowing that I'm going to die, knowing that we're human beings and that we're born in this world to die, it should make us realize that no matter what kind of life we have, no matter what place in life we have, we still have to call upon Christ. We still have to acknowledge there's something greater. Look at your medical science, the greatest in the history of the world. But yet they can't stop people from dying. They can't stop people from dying. There's no way they can do it. They've exhausted every means, every effort. And even though at this present moment they're able to aid you a little bit, even that is going to come to a place to where there won't be any healing medicine. Like I heard a fellow say the other day, he just had his feet removed. He said, I paid $5,000 for medicine. He said, but there was no healing medicine. He said, my feet still rotted and they still had to stick the knife to my feet. $5,000, he said, but there was no healing medicine. And beloved friend, the Bible said in that day, there'll be no healing medicines. You know, we should be thankful tonight that we have what we call the grace of God. The grace of God to you and I has provided in such a way that there is such a thing as a healing medicine. That is to say, there is something that will relieve pain. There is something that will help. We can find relief when we are tortured by pain from nerve reaction. But did you know that isn't going to keep lasting? That isn't going to keep lasting. God is going to do away with that. You know why God is going to do away with that? Because God never intended for saints of God to lean upon that. God gave that to us when we were babes, to where we could have something to help us till we could get our faith developed. He gave that for the land of Esau, that He might have mercy upon those people out there, because they did not know how to use their faith in God. But the saints of God, many of them have lived such a shallow life and have got so mixed up in the world and got so gullible toward the things of the world until they don't have any faith and they don't have any desire for God and they don't have any desire to serve God the way they ought to, and they're just filling the hospitals up and running to and fro everywhere without leaning upon God. That is quite a contrast when we speak of the church in the wilderness. When we think that that church in the wilderness of thousands of people, multiplied thousands of people, they trusted God and there was not one sick among them. But here we are in America today, we trust the medical profession and all of us are sick, one way or another. You know what it is, folks? We're sin sick. I hear people, you know, they say, well, Brother Pike, you've got to recognize the fact that sickness isn't caused from sin. I couldn't recognize that fact because that isn't true. All sickness is caused from sin. You say, but Brother Pike, you can't prove that. Yes, I can prove that. Let's go back to the garden and take a look and see if there was any sickness before sin came. There was absolutely no sickness in the garden. And when sin came, ever since sin came, there's been sickness in the world. All sickness comes from the devil. There is not one kind of sickness that comes from God. Not one kind. You know, I've heard people say, Brother Pike, this woman that was healed over here that had been bowed over this way about over all these years, said the Bible said that was for the glory of God. Brother, sister, God never meant that that woman being bound in the clutches of the devil was for the glory of God. He meant that one day Jesus would come by and break the hold of the devil, and that woman would glorify God with her faith by being healed, and the world would see the power of God. So then we realize tonight that when we lean upon the arm of flesh and we go down to Egypt for our help, then we're in trouble. We don't need to go down to Egypt for our help. What do we need to do? We need to call upon God. Look at Asa. The Bible says that God smote him in his feet. And because he sought the physicians rather than God, he died. The Bible says, because he sought the physicians rather than God, he died. If he had sought God, he would not have died. The best thing that we can do is go to God and find out why we're in the condition that we're in, if we're having a problem. You say, but Brother Pike, I know that I love God and I'm still sick. I know that I love God and I've still got problems. I don't doubt that. A person can be a real, genuine child of God. They can really love God and still have sickness, still have problems. But it doesn't change the fact that they have power by means of their faith to overcome that sickness. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that God has placed this sickness upon me to straighten me out. Well, if that be the case, then you know there's not much I can do about it. If the only way that you can live a righteous life is to have a whip on your back, then all I can say is just do the best you can. But I believe that we ought to love God enough that we would live a holy, godly, overcoming life without having to be under the rod of chastisement all the time. You know, the Bible says that if we would judge ourselves, then we'd have no need to be judged. But once we are judged of God, then the Bible said we are chastened by God that we be not condemned with the world. But if we would judge ourselves and look at ourselves and find our faults and do away with our wrongs, then we'd not have to be chastened of the Lord. We wouldn't have to go through these things. But when we don't do right, then what else can we expect? So then tonight, if you feel that the only way that you can serve God is by having a heavy yoke on you, then the Bible said, according to your believing, so be it unto you. If that's what you believe, Jesus said, so be it unto you. But if you're the kind of person that believed that Jesus Christ was bruised for your iniquity and the chastisement of your peace was laid upon His back, by whose stripes you were healed, if you're the kind of person that believes in the mercy and the love and the greatness of God, then be free from your sickness. Be free from your bondage. Be free from all of these things that's got you bound. Be free from all of these things that harass you, that keeps you from blessings and prosperity and the great wonderful things of God. Be free from those things, because there is no need for you to carry that yoke. The Bible said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God has got an easy yoke. God has got an easy burden. And for those that believe the Word of God, then God will bless them. You know, the Bible said God will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Have you ever considered that? The high places of the earth. And I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And He said, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I will bless you. He said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow whatsoever. He said, thou shalt be like a man or like a tree that is planted by the water. You'll bring forth your fruit in your season, your leaves shall not wither. You shall be as a man full of power and prosperity, of health, an overflowing well of health and salvation. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So then God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. God wants to save you. God wants to magnify you. God wants to use you. God wants to lift you up. But beloved friend, there is no way that God can do that if you don't submit yourself to God and if you're not willing to lose this life here to obtain those wonderful blessings of God. I can have anything that I want, providing I run it through the filter. If I don't run it through the filter of Jesus Christ, then it's got a curse upon it. But if I run it through the filter of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can have anything I want. Now listen real close. God does not care what you have. If you want automobiles, God will give it to you. If you want houses and lands, God will give it to you. If you want the blessings of life, God will give it to you. If you want health and prosperity, God will give it to you. God will give you all of those things. But there's one thing that God will not tolerate out of me or out of you or any church body, and that is to be carnally minded. The Bible teaches that God doesn't care how many carnal things that you have. You can have automobiles and houses and clothing and whatever. You can have money, food, prosperity. Those are carnal things. Paul said, if I've sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap of your carnal things? If others be partakers of these things, how much more are we as the ministry, he said. So then God doesn't care how many carnal things you have, because God created the carnal things. But God said, though you have all kind of carnal things, yet if you be carnally minded, then you die. For to be spiritually minded is life, to be carnally minded is death. God, who is a great spirit, created all carnal things. But God is not carnally minded, He is spiritually minded. God expects you to have all the carnal blessings. And the Bible said a wise man's substance is precious in his sight. That is, he doesn't just do it any other way. He takes care of his home. He takes care of his automobile. He takes care of his body. But he doesn't become carnally minded. Anytime you become automobile minded, anytime you become house or land minded, anytime you become money minded, you're on your way to hell. Anytime you become carnal minded, you lose out with God. Anytime you get carnally minded, you're living in death and you're abiding in death. For to be carnally minded is death. The first problem that ever came was from the carnal mind. Adam and Eve had all the things that they could wish for. They were made out of the very dust itself. They had all the trees. They had all the beautiful garden. Being here in this place called Eden reminds me of it. Being here in this place called Eden. The Bible said in the garden was in the east of Eden. Therefore, being here in Eden, it reminds me of this very thing. They had everything that they could want. But did you know the one thing that caused them trouble? Eve got to listening to another voice. Eve got to listening to another voice. And the voice that Eve listened to was the wrong voice. She shouldn't have listened to it. God was speaking over here. And God said, Eve, the day that thou eatest of this particular tree, you will die. Another voice over here said, thou shalt not surely die. And she listened to this voice rather than God's voice. And something took place, and she did die. She found that she did die, and all of her people have been dying ever since. Since Eve is the mother of all the living, then all of her children have been dying ever since. But you know, I'm glad for one thing, that when we're born again, then our mother is New Jerusalem. When we're born again of the Holy Spirit, Eve is no longer our mother. But the Bible said heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all. And when that great, wonderful blessing comes from God, in that this great, wonderful city, or this great, wonderful church, this great, wonderful mother, many ways it can be defined, when this thing happens, then we become new creatures in God. Then we become new people in God. We become changed altogether in God. So then tonight, if we are born to the Holy Spirit, if New Jerusalem is the mother of us all, as Paul used the terms, if New Jerusalem is the mother of us all, which is the church, if that's the mother of us all, if we're begotten by the Word, begotten by the Spirit, and we're born of God, and New Jerusalem is the mother of us all, as Paul said, if the church is the mother of us all, then that means that we are not related to this world. We are not children of this world. We are not carnally minded. We don't belong to this world. We belong to another world. We are heavenly minded. We own eternal riches. We own everything, whether natural, whether spiritual. It still belongs to us. We own all of it, but we must use it according to the blessings and benefit of God. Everyone is not going to receive these things of God. They are of this world. They belong to the world of Esau. The things of this world belong to them. And they have sold their birthright for a morsel of bread. They've sold out to gain the popularity of this world. They've actually sold out to have a position in this world. Whereas God would have given them a great position, as He did Daniel, as He did the Hebrew children, and still would have given them all these great things and given them their heart's desire. But they sold out for the beggarly elements of this world, and now they're wretched and they're miserable. Did you know the Bible said the last generation would be wretched? That they would be miserable? And yet they would be very churchy. They would be very religious, but all the time they would be miserable and wretched. Have you ever read about a more wretched generation than this one? Have you ever read about a more miserable generation than this one? And yet this generation has more to be glad for than any other generation. But they're miserable. You know why? Because the generations that's gone by had God. And having a little bit with God, you can be happy, because God is life and joy and peace. And without God, all that you have is no good. Cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help, or cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. There's a lot of things I'd like to say tonight, because when we get right along here, we just get ready to preach. Right along here, Paul got about along here, and he began to preach, and it took him all night long before he finished his sermon. But the thing is, you get right along here, and you're just getting ready to preach, because minds begin to open up a little bit, and they that don't want to hear it already slipped out and gone, and it just leaves them that want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you just get into the rim to where you can talk about Jesus and the wonderful glories of God. But knowing that you've got jobs and knowing that you've got positions and things to do, then that means that we cannot continue on. We have to stop from time to time to let you go to your homes and to let you do the thing that you have to do. Knowing that you're pressed with necessity, you have those things to do to continue in life. Well, beloved friend, the things that I've spoke to you about tonight, I'd like for you to think on them. Because as we go on from night to night, we'll make reference back to some of these things. And as we make reference back to some of these things, and you get more engrossed in the Spirit, and you get more moved for the things of God, and others come in and you feel more comfortable, the lights get up, as we go on, then we're intending to get into some of the wonderful revelational truths of Christ. And some of the things is going to be shocking to you. You can be for sure that they're going to be shocking to you. Some of the things you've never heard in all of your life. And they're going to be shocking to you. But when you listen, as you listen, something's going to say, my God, that's the truth. That's the truth. And this is what we're looking for, is the truth. I'd like for you to stand with me tonight. It's been a real privilege to talk with you. You've been a good congregation, and it makes it a little bit difficult to try to preach to you, and that I can't hardly see you because of these lights up here. And it doesn't help me to relate to you as much as I'd like to relate to you. But on the other hand, it's been a real privilege to talk to you tonight. I thank God for the people. I thank God for the services, though these services have been somewhat primitive. I still praise God for it. Frontier evangelism is a thrill of my heart. As a matter of fact, they just asked for me to come down into Mexico. We were down there not too long ago. We had a wonderful meeting in Old Mexico, and they are pressing on us now to come back. In a number of villages, there's people that are pleading with us to come back into Old Mexico. And you know, this is astounding, folks. I'd like for you to consider this tonight. Here in America, we consider ourselves to be the brilliant people, the educated people, and the people that have the know-how. And we consider people over in India and different places to be those that are heathenistic and that those don't understand what they're doing as far as we're concerned. But did you know, it is astounding when you go there and learn that some of the most brilliant people, intellectually speaking, educationally speaking, some of the most brilliant people in the world are in those countries. And would you believe it? That over here, knowing that we're supposed to be the great religious people of all the world, knowing this, you would think that we are the people here in America that would just be swallowing up the revelation of Christ and know the deep things of God. But did you know, to my astounding amazement, even in India, as I ministered, I prepared to minister a sermon to those people as babes that knew nothing. I prepared to talk to them as they that knew nothing and just for the purpose of soul winning. But there were numbers of people that were so hungry that the great wonderful of the deepness of the mystery of God and the revelation of Christ began to pour into their hearts. And the mission where I was staying, which was a big fine mission, it was a rare thing that we was able to find a place like that. But some church had established one over there. It was a great big 3 or 4 story mission. Right in the front of it, a tree that David Livingston had planted. An outstanding thing, had great big living rooms to it. Did you know that the people of all walks of life, businessmen, people that were importers, exporters, people that were professors, wealthy men, businessmen, did you know they poured into that place day after day and filled up the living room and the surrounding areas, pleading, begging for me to talk to them about the wonderful, wonderful hidden mysteries of God. And they sat for hours as the Spirit of God spake. Wonderful, wonderful movings of God astounded me. You know, Jesus said, "He that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna." Just to him that overcometh. Not to the church world. Not to the Baptist. Not to the Methodist. Not to the Presbyterian. Not to the Church of God. Not to the UPC. Not to the Catholic. Not to the Presbyterians, not to the Methodists, the Baptists, not to the Assemblies of God, not to the non-denominationals, but to him that overcometh, I will give to him that he might eat of the hidden manna. And you know what the hidden manna is? The hidden manna is the great, wonderful, hidden mysteries of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He that overcometh, he that will live a life of purity, he that will sacrifice, he that's willing to give up this life that he may obtain the world to come. This person that's willing to surrender their all. You know, we sing a song, "I surrender, Lord, I surrender all. All to thee, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all." So then Jesus said to him that's willing to surrender all, "I've got something special for him. I will give to him that he might eat of the hidden manna." And oh, beloved friend, what a wonderful thing it is. If you have a taste of the hidden manna, your entire life will be transformed. You'll never be the same anymore. Never. I wrote a song one time. I'm a songwriter. I wrote many hundreds of songs. And I remember writing a song, I'll never be the same anymore. Never be the same anymore. Let's sing a little chorus together. I want to say again, it's a real privilege to be here. I thank God for you people. And I pray that God will continue to bless us in Eden. I feel that He will. The Lord's been good to us. The papers were out again today to get another short article. And the Lord has been good to us. He's given us plenty of advertisement. And He's blessed us here. And though the devil has been very cruel to us in trying to hinder us, yet we have a victory in Christ. And we're winning out. More and more we're winning out. It is because of your prayers, your help and support. It's because of you looking unto God and us looking unto God as that one that will help us. For in all things we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Let's sing this chorus.
Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Can you sing it with me?
For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul.
Sing it with me like this now.
For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore.
I wonder if you could come to the altar tonight while He's playing this song. I wonder if you'd step out tonight, night after night, as we ask you to come to the altar. We pray for you when you come to the altar. We pray that God will bless you. You know, a lot of people don't know that the minister has the power to bless you. A lot of people that don't understand the scriptures, they don't know that the minister has the power to bless them. But Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins ye shall remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins ye retain shall be retained. Whatever ye bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. And the Bible said, whosoever you bless shall be blessed, and whatsoever you curse, it shall be cursed. Therefore, you know, it reminds me when we was in India, I had a lot of people. They would run when we preached the gospel at the open air meeting there. We'd get ready to leave, or even before we would preach, there'd be numbers of people that would run around the automobile, and they'd catch us as we begin to get out, and they'd say, bless me, oh bless me, please bless me. And I've had them to scream out and say, Father bless me, oh Father bless me over there. That's all they know. You know, the Bible said, and the fathers shall lay up for the children. And the Bible speaks of the mothers that's in Israel. There are spiritual mothers that are in Israel. And they would cry out, Father bless me, please bless me, Father. And they would cleave to you and not turn you loose until you would bless them. And you know, people don't realize that the minister has the power to bless. But it's so wonderful tonight to know that if you really understand that you can be blessed of those that come into your area, they have the power to bless you, they have the power to curse you, depending on your attitude toward God, and depending on your desire toward God, they have the power. It's like Paul when he turned to a man and he cursed him and said, thou shalt be blind for a season. You know, speaking of the child of the devil. And then others was blessed. God would bless others. God can bring you a blessing like Elijah when he went to the little widow and he blessed the little widow, and a meal barrel never gave out anymore. So then tonight you can have a blessing. You can go home with a blessing, Or you can miss the blessing. Esau missed the blessing. He sold his blessing and he missed his blessing. But Jacob, he looked for the blessing and he got the blessing. So tonight you can have the blessing. While they're playing on, or he's playing on the organ here, I'd like for you to come up around the altar for just a few minutes. I'd like to pray with you. And from night to night as I call you to the altar, I call you here to pray with you that I might bless you in the name of the Lord. You know, if you want a blessing, as I said, you've got to prepare yourself. If you want a blessing, you've got to do something. You can't just say, Lord, use me, and not do anything. A lot of people never get anything from God, though some people have faith. But they never get anything from God because they don't understand faith. And they don't realize that when they ask God for something, they've got to stay there with it, believing it. You know, the Bible said, when you've done all you can to stand, stand. Somebody says, well, I can't stand any longer. The Bible said, stand anyway. When you've done all you can to stand, then you have faith in the power of my might. And you stand by my strength. You stand by my spirit. When you can't do it by your own way, stand by my spirit. Have faith in God. See, when we say, God, I've done all I can and I can't do it, then we turn to God. And we say, God, I can't do it, but by faith in God, I'm going to do it. The Bible said, through Christ that strengthens me, I can do all things. And so then, we can do it. I want you to step out with me tonight. Come on down here. Step out with me. Come on right now. Step out with me. Come down to the altar tonight. And let's pray for just a few minutes. And let's talk to the Master. And ask God to bless these services. It's such a privilege to have you come out here with us. And it means a lot to me to know that you love Jesus enough to want to come out here. It means a lot to God to know that you love the Lord enough that you want to gather here in these services with us. And I'm expecting God to do something here. I'm expecting God to heal. I'm expecting God to heal cancer in this meeting. I said that last night. I'm expecting God to heal. As a matter of fact, some lady today brought word to my wife that there is a gentleman up here, I believe at the paper, at the newspaper, I'm not sure, somewhere up here that asked for prayer. Is that right? Asked for prayer, and they found out that he's got cancer. And he just saw a man die a horrible death with cancer. And he's really tore up about this thing. He doesn't want to die. No one does. And he certainly doesn't want to die with cancer. And he's really disturbed over this thing. So we're going to pray for that man and ask God to do something about it. We've had numbers of cases back home where people were in intensive care and in severe condition, and some of them dying with cancer, and we prayed, and God has spared them. We had a number of cases where God has spared them and God has blessed them. I remember a young fella not too long ago. He was in the intensive care there at the hospital, I believe in Athens, Georgia. And he was in a dying condition, and I remember they sent word for us to pray for him. And one day, Betty and I was going down the road, and I asked Betty, I said, would you drive the motorhome just a little bit? And I'd like to get into the back of the motorhome just for a few minutes. So Betty, she began to drive the motorhome. I got in the back of the motorhome, and when I got back there, I said, Lord, I perceive that you're wanting me to pray for this young lad that's fixing to die. They said for sure that the way everything looked, he was going to die. And I said, I believe you want me to pray for him. And as I began to listen to the voice of God, he assured me that he wanted me to pray for him. And now going down this road, I began to pray. And I said, God, that's a young fella, and he's still got his entire life ahead of him. I don't want him to die, Father. I want you to heal him. I want you to do something for him. And as I began to pray, I felt the wonderful anointing of God come into the back of that little coach. And I felt the moving of the Spirit. And I said, God, I feel you healing him right now. And God's Spirit began to fill that place. And I went back and I told my wife, I said, Betty, you know that boy in the hospital over there that they said is going to die? I said, God, just heal that boy. And within two or three days, something happened. It amazed the doctors, and I believe it was on his birthday, God healed him and turned him loose from the hospital. Just like that, God healed him. You know, that's what God wants to do tonight. You might have need of healing tonight. There might be something wrong. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong in your life. There might be something wrong in your life, but God wants to heal you. God wants to help you. God wants to do something for you. You know, this is not a game. This is not some fantasy. This is not something you play with. This is real. God is real. God wants to heal you. God wants to save you. God wants to bless you. God wants to do something for you. You belong to God. God has given me the desires of my heart. Do you know there's not anything that I desire that God hasn't given me? Not anything. In all of the things of the natural, God has given me all that I wanted. In the things of the Spirit, God has given me all that I wanted. I ask Him for it. God has given it to me. He's not withheld anything from me. The Bible said God will not withhold any good thing from them that walk upright before Him. Now, so God will not withhold anything from you. If you'll believe God, then God will bless you. I want you to lift your hands up with me now. And I want you to just talk to God for a few minutes here, because I feel the presence of God here. I felt God here last night, and I still feel God here tonight. And I believe that God's going to heal. I believe that God's going to heal. You know, there's some people that's fasting and praying for this meeting. Did you know that? There's a sister standing here. I know she's been fasting a couple of days for this meeting. And I heard this evening of somebody else that had been fasting all day long. There's a number of people that's fasting and praying that God will heal you people. There's praying people, people that love God, and they're praying for your healing. They're praying for your blessing. They're praying that God will restore your broken home, and God will heal your broken heart, and God will bless you financially, and God will help you to meet those needs that you've not been able to meet. So tonight, as we lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight, I want to pray with you, and I want to ask God to bless you. Perhaps God's already used you, maybe in a great way. But I'd like for God to use you in even a greater way than He's used you before. So tonight, while you've got your hands lifted up, your eyes closed, let's pray together. Will you pray together tonight with me? Will you pray to God tonight? Father, Lord of heaven, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus, I ask you, Father, to look down from heaven. Now, Lord, you told me to come to Eden. Father, you told me to come to Eden. And dear God, you said if you go into a city, and if they receive you, you said, heal the sick, Father. Lord God of heaven, in your name tonight, we heal the sick. Father, in your name tonight, by your Spirit tonight, Father, we heal the sick. God, we pray for these people tonight. God, though individually through this meeting we'll be laying hands on the people, Father, speaking to them in the name of the Lord and praying for them, yet tonight, Father, as I move my hands over the audience, God, as I move my hands over these people that are standing here, I want you, my Heavenly Father, only you can do it. And I'm asking you, my Father, in the name of your Son tonight, in the name of your Son Jesus tonight, I'm asking you to heal these people. I want them to have an experience tonight. I want the great, wonderful Spirit of God tonight to break the yoke, Father, and to move the bondages tonight. Lord, I want you to energize the hearts tonight, to activate these bodies and lives tonight with your presence, Father. And may the great, wonderful Spirit charge the atmosphere round about us. We dedicate these grounds to you, Father. We dedicate these services to you. We dedicate our life anew to you, Father. And we ask that you move here in this town of Eden. I want you to move across the area. God, we're going to pray. We're going to call upon you as the saints of God. Lord, will you give a revival unto this tent? Father, till there's a moving of the Spirit unto this tent. Father, until people are healed under this tent, until the glory of God comes down and things begin to happen under this tent, I want you to move by your Spirit tonight, move by your power tonight, and I want you to do something special, Lord, in a special way tonight to heal and save and forgive these people. I'm asking you to bless these people. Father, these people came forth. Now, Lord, you said if we blessed them, they would be blessed. I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, tonight. According to their faith in Christ tonight, their love and devotion for thee tonight, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Father, and they shall be blessed. And as they go their way, I want them to acknowledge the blessing. As they go their way from day to day, I want them to see that things will change in their life. And Father, things will begin to open up, and they'll say something is happening. Surely surely God has blessed me and heard my prayer and heard my cry. I bless them tonight in the name of the Son of God. If there is any disease among these people, I want the germs to die. I want the disease to be taken away, and I want them to start recovering tonight. Lord, you said they would recover. I want you to start them to recovering tonight. Lord, that they be healed. And dear God, as in the last meeting at Thomasville, that some will come back as they did there, saying, surely God has done something for me, because even the doctors have declared that my condition is different. I want you to heal. Heal in the name of Jesus tonight, and forgive in Jesus' wonderful name tonight. Lift up your hands and let's love the Lord. Can you praise God tonight? Father, we praise you tonight for this blessing. We praise you for your glory tonight. We praise you for your touch tonight. We ask you to look down upon these people. Help us to realize that you inhabit the praise of your people. And dear God, tonight, that help us to create a place and an atmosphere that the great, wonderful Holy Ghost of God, the great, wonderful Holy Spirit might be here through these meetings. I'm asking you to do it tonight, Father, to quicken the bodies. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, may it move in their heart. The same Spirit, Father, that healed the young lad when he was released from the hospital. The same Spirit that has healed throughout the world so many miraculous times for those that have utilized their faith in Christ Jesus. I want you to do it in the name of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's create an atmosphere here tonight for God. You know, that's what God wants us to do, is to praise Him. God is a Spirit. God inhabits the praise of His people. And the more that we praise God, the more that God will come down. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Come into my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's sing it again. Oh, come in to my heart. Lord, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today. Oh, come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads again, can we? Now, when we ask the Lord to come into our heart, then we should really mean it. If we ask Jesus to come into our heart, we should really mean it. Oh, beloved friend, you don't know what it is to have Jesus. You don't know what it means to have Jesus unless you've come to the knowledge of the truth. It's the most wonderful, the most beautiful, the most glorious thing that will ever happen to you during all of your lifetime. And remember one thing, that if you don't get Jesus, you've missed it all. If you miss out in getting Jesus, you've missed everything. You won't realize the great thing that you've done, the horrible thing that you've done, until you realize you've lost your birthright. If you ever come to realize you've lost your birthright, your life will be a nightmare. Doesn't matter if you have money, doesn't matter if you have friends, it doesn't matter if you have intelligence, your life will be a nightmare. All of life will withdraw from you, and everything will be drab, and everything will be horrible. And when you walk, it'll feel like the crackling of the flames of hell under your feet when you've lost your birthright. So don't sell your birthright for the things of the world. Don't sell your birthright for the things of the world. Get close to God. It's the hour when you need to get close to God. It's that hour when you need to draw close to the Lord Jesus Christ. While you've got your heads bowed tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Clyde Cobbs to come up here tonight. If he will. And while you've got your heads bowed, I'm going to ask him to pray with you this last closing prayer. I want you to believe in the Lord. I want you to enjoy yourself in these meetings. And I want you to invite somebody to come out to be with you. I want you to do that. And I want you to come back every night that you can. Encourage us in preaching the gospel, because we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's going to bless. And if you come, we can rejoice together. And when we leave this town, you can have a blessing from God. You can feel good in God. You can feel satisfied in God because you've done something for Jesus. And because you stood for Christ in this area. Because you stood for Christ in this area. You'll be happy because you stood for Christ in this area. Brother Clyde, if you will, I want you to come. While Clyde's praying tonight, I want you to just pour your heart out to God for a few minutes. Can you do that? While he's praying tonight, I want you to just pour your heart out to God. Lift your hands up again with me. Lift your hands up again. Lift them up with me, folks. The Bible said, "Would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." I mentioned this last night. When you lift up your hands, Jesus is seen in your life. God sees Calvary. He sees Calvary. So lift up your hands tonight. Close your eyes. Let's call upon the name of the Lord as our brother prays with us tonight.